This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On Mock Monday, from CBS Sports, he's Mr. Ryan Wilson. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
Very well. We appreciate you being with us today. I love looking at your mock draft. You always do good stuff, and I want to get to this in a second. You have quarterbacks galore at the top of the draft. It's fascinating to me, and you're not alone. I think it's really interesting. You also have the Browns going linebacker in the first round. And is it Jamin Davis? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah, Jamin Davis.
Jamin Davis. All right. Why Jamin Davis? He's a linebacker. 26, are you thinking Browns have an interest in this guy, or are you thinking the Browns have an interest in linebacker, or he's the best player available, or what?
Yeah, linebacker's a need for sure. Tino Takitaki is still there. I'm trying to think. He doesn't have very many years left on his deal, and it's a need in the middle of the defense. Edge rusher's also a need for sure, and in previous mock drafts, I do a ton of these things. At this point, it feels like Groundhog Day. But I've certainly had edge rushers going just because on the other side of the edge rusher is Myles Garrett, and that's certainly a great way to be introduced to the NFL as an edge rusher where you're not expected to do everything. But Jamin Davis is a special talent. And the funny thing about him, in previous mock drafts, I've had players like Zaven Collins out of Tulsa finding their way to Cleveland. I'm not sure if Zaven will be there at that point in round one. He's a dynamic athlete that played primarily off-ball linebacker at Tulsa, but he at 264, he felt like you move him around. But Jamin Davis was sort of late to the game. NFL teams certainly knew about him, and you know, feels like the media didn't really catch on to Jamin Davis until about 4 or 5, 6 weeks ago. And then there were sort of floodgates as to, like, where has this guy been? And you sort of find out that NFL teams weren't trying to brag about it. They were trying to keep that on the hush-hush. Sometimes that happens, which is funny. But he's a dynamic player, only one-year starter, a spot starter in 2019, but put a lot of really interesting things on tape in terms of the athleticism, the sideline to sideline ability, the ability to just to destroy people, and feels like the modern-day off-ball linebacker we've seen come to prominence the last 5, 6, 7 years. Of course, Devin White, having all the success he did in the Super Bowl, has sort of exacerbated that, but it was 2 years ago in that same class where Devin White was a top-10 pick that the Steelers traded up from 20 to number 10 to get Devin Bush, another off-ball linebacker. So I think that's the direction that the NFL is going with these players. Jamin Davis, I think on my big board, which comes out later this week, I think I have him around 35. But if he snuck into the low 20s, I don't think that would surprise anyone, given how well he played last year.
What's the difference between – so you have three linebackers being taken in the first round of your mock. What's the difference between him and Micah Parsons, the kid out of Penn State? Like, how big is the gap between those two guys?
Micah Parsons is special. He feels like a top five player to me. He hasn't played a lot of football. He opted out last year. A lot of the things he was able to do in 2019 when he did play sort of took your breath away. And could Jamin Davis get to that point? Sure. With experience and playing time, perhaps he could. I know my colleague Pete Prisco actually said last week that he likes Jamin Davis as a better pro than Micah Parsons. I think that's not a bridge too far, but you're standing there at the precipice about to jump in the lake, I feel like. But I think that Micah Parsons has a chance to be special. And there are some maturity concerns at Penn State that have some NFL teams worry, but in terms of sheer football playing ability and athleticism and all those things, Jamin Davis rates incredibly high, but I think Micah Parsons is in a class by himself. We talked about Devin Bush and Devin White being top 10 picks. Micah Parsons coming out of college is a better player than both of those guys. We'll see if he gets out of the top 10 because of the aforementioned maturity stuff that was with him at Penn State, or whether a team takes a flyer on him. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he found his way into the top 10 based on solely what we saw in 2019, which also gives you some indication that NFL teams, in terms of the on-field play, was not worried that Micah Parsons opted out in 2020. So right now, I like Micah Parsons. He's my linebacker one. Saban Collins is two, and Jamin Davis is three.
Let me ask you one more thing about Davis. Ryan Wilson joining us from CBS Sports. I always have a little bit of hesitation when a guy is what you said, late bloomer, didn't really start until the last season. Is there a reason that he didn't start in college that would make an NFL team hesitant, or is it a skill set that's more in tune maybe with the NFL game?
I just think it was a function of having better players in front of him, and he's still a young football player. I think in college that's also something that you can, quote-unquote, get away with, in that everyone, you know, everyone's 18 to 22. So sometimes you're just behind players. You're playing in the SEC. These are some good football players. He saw the field in 2019, but he wasn't a regular starter. But then once he got that opportunity, he you know, grabbed with both hands and ran with it. And I think that's also the takeaway. So certainly those are fair questions to ask. But if you look at someone like Sean Wade, the cornerback from Ohio State, who had the starting job for a while, 2019 he played slot, 2020 the cornerback. And, man, did he struggle. I mean, he struggled to the point where you were saying you almost wish he'd come out in 2019 because there are a lot more questions than answers after an extra year in college, whereas Jamin Davis, that's pointing up. Like, everything you watch is that this guy is on the up. And that's the direction you want to be going, obviously, if you're the player. But those are certainly fair questions to ask about the lack of experience. And it feels like that's a level at the, you know, the bottom line is with players at every position. It's just, okay, they haven't played a lot of football, whether it's pandemic-related, whether they opted out, or whether they were late to become starters in their final year in college.
Hey, Ryan, so in Cleveland we need to be reprogrammed in some roster. We're like, huh, they don't really necessitate us at all. And they also have 9 picks. Help us rewire our brains. How should the Browns be approaching this draft? Not from a position standpoint, but from the fact that they have 9 picks and probably have a little bit of leverage to move up if they want to, if they want to go up and get another guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, straight up, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm a Steelers homer, so this is the first time in a long time where the little brother has been slapping the big brother around. And I say it all the time when I talk to you guys about, you know, they beat the Steelers in back-to-back games. One was in the playoffs. The next week they had a legit chance to beat the Chiefs. Think about that. The Browns had a legitimate opportunity to beat the Chiefs late in the game, and you know, Chad Henne came out of nowhere. That's how far this team has come, and I think a lot of credit goes to the front office, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff, and even the ownership for taking a step back and saying, okay, we're not going to be not going to be in the kitchen and let the cooks do their job. And it's all sort of paid off in year one. So that's encouraging. So what does this mean going forward? You mentioned the roster. The roster is in pretty good shape. You could argue they need some help on defense, and safety is certainly a position of need. We talked about edge rusher. We just talked about the linebacker. But they also have young players. Grant Delpit didn't play last year. He was their second-round pick. Highly touted. Greedy Williams is battling with injuries. But if you get those guys healthy, again, you're in really good position. I suppose that you could think about maybe wide receiver as a target. But again, as you pointed out, you don't need it. Odell Beckham's coming back. You have Jarvis Landry. Perhaps you need help at number three. Rashard Higgins is still there, but number three receiver. Donovan Peoples-Jones played really well in limited time last year. So they're in a position where you can pick and choose what you want. You don't have to reach for a player. You get someone that can help you immediately in the first round on defense, if that's what you, the direction you decide to go. You can circle back in rounds two or three and find some help at wide receiver if that's the direction you're interested in targeting, and just bolster the holes you do have, and there are a few of them in terms of depth, as you go through this process. All 9 players that you draft, presumably, don't have to make the roster. You can package some of those picks to move around the draft board, package picks in a lot of the ways that we've seen the Patriots do in years past, for future draft picks and future drafts, and just focus on the team that you have and finding ways to make it better. Because right now, I mean, it's fair to say that the Browns are going to challenge the Ravens in the division. And I think if you look at the odds, the Ravens are slight favorites, but the Browns aren't far behind. And I don't know the last time, and that may have never, ever been the case in the AFC North, that the Browns were close to being favorites to win the division in April.
Ryan Wilson joining us, CBS Sports on Mock Monday here on Baskin and Phelps. Your number one pick, Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. Number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. Number three, quarterback Mac Jones to the Niners. Number four, Justin Fields going to the Falcons. And at number eight, you have Trey Lance going to Washington. Is this because these quarterbacks are that good? Or is this because quarterback is such a premium in the NFL that teams are going to reach for a couple of these guys?
That's right. It's the latter. It's the demand outstrip supply conversation we have every year around this time with these quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, we know how good he can be. He feels like, to me, as close to slam dunk at a quarterback as you're going to get. That said, maybe he busts out. We don't know. It's also incredibly hard to predict how these quarterbacks are going to play. But I feel like if he even shows up and gives us what we got from Justin Fields last year, 85% of that, that's an absolute home run for the Jaguars. They would be ecstatic. But then things get interesting. Like, is Zach Wilson going to be great in New York with the Jets? Is he better than Sam Darnold coming out? I don't know. I mean, he looked great last year at BYU, but you talk to teams and they had questions about his durability. They had questions about the 1 year of productivity in 2019. He battled injuries and he didn't look to be nearly the player. I've talked to teams or talked to players that faced him on other teams in the Pac-12 in 2019, and they said he was just a guy. Like, they weren't being disrespectful. Wow. They were saying, we didn't game plan for Zach Wilson. That wasn't our concern 2 years ago. But it all changed, obviously, in 2020, and he deserves all the accolades and the positive press he's getting because he played that well. The question is, does it translate? We'll find out. Mac Jones is much the same conversation, except he's half the athlete of these guys, if you hear. You listen to folks on Twitter and some media folks talk, but Mac Jones is a really good player. And the funny thing is, I was talking to teams in late December who said Mac Jones was going to be a top 10 pick. And I thought it was a stretch, and I would say it. I would repeat it when I was on CBS Sports and write about it. And people looked at me like I was crazy. But sometimes I think what happens is we get in this social media echo chamber and we just refuse to allow any information that seems foreign to us. And the idea of Mac Jones, who looks like, you know, he's me in his mid-40s and struggles to get up and down stairs, that he would be a top-five pick, just people can't wrap their brains around that. But it certainly feels like it's going to happen. Even if it's not the 49ers, there could be other teams interested in Mac Jones. Justin Fields is just an amazing athlete. He has a fantastic arm. He did so many things well as a passer and obviously as a runner at Ohio State. And, again, I say this all the time, if the draft were February 15th, we wouldn't have time to pick these players apart. And I think that's part of the issue. We have too much time on our hands. So is there a chance that five quarterbacks go in the top 10? Yeah, there is, but probably more to do with projecting that these guys will be good in a few years as opposed to these guys all being slam dunk, Andrew Luck type players coming out of college.
Ryan?
I know you – oh, go ahead. Sorry, Jeff. Sorry. Go.
Nope, after you, Andy.
I was just going to ask you about the Steelers really quick and just what you thought. I mean, obviously, it looks like defensive line, edge, kind of the same thing as the Browns. But there's a part of me that thinks they're going to have to draft a quarterback at some point here, right?
Yeah, I hope so. In fact, before the media hype train came on board Mac Jones, I was actually wishing they would trade up for Mac Jones at some point, maybe get him in the middle of the round. That's out of the question now. So if they're going to look for a quarterback, to me, one of my favorite players in the draft class that few media folks are talking about is Kellen Mond, the quarterback out of Texas A&M. And if the Steelers got him at 55 in round two, I would be ecstatic. He's a four-year starter. He's 6'2". He moves well. He has a rocket arm. He has one of the best arms in his draft class. And he made a huge leap from 2019 to 2020 in terms of his processing, in terms of his accuracy, in terms of making good decisions. I don't know if he'll be there then. He may go a little before that. He feels like a second-round pick, perhaps in the middle of the round. But you're exactly right. I don't know if the Steelers feel the same way. They're going to roll with Big Ben, obviously, which I think is a mistake, and a lot of Steelers fans do as well. But they need offensive line. They need defensive line. They need edge rush. They need cornerback. They need running back. So this team, again, I mean, everything went right last year, and they imploded down the stretch. They have fewer players now, and if it were not for the Bengals being in that division, there may be a conversation that they would be the worst team in that division. So they have a lot of work to do with not very much in the way of assets, and I think quarterback is a concern, but I suspect that the Steelers will push that off for another year and try to circle back and solve that question 12 months from now or so.
Ryan, always great to have you with us, despite the fact that you're a Steeler fan. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.